Okay, Parshas Va'era. Va'era, Pshischa on the Parsha. Here we go. The Pasuk tells us a phrase that we hear many times in reference to Mitzrayim, in reference to Yetzias Mitzrayim, but something which maybe is not easy to define, easy to translate. So, as we know, the beginning of the Parsha, Moshe Rabbeinu gives over what we know now as the Dalad Lashonos HaGa'ula, which are commemorated through the Dalad Kosos, according to many opinions. The truth is that there are other opinions and there are other sources for having the four cups of wine Pesach night, but not for now. The fourth one, perhaps the most significant one, is not just that we came out of Egypt, or that Hashem's going to bring us out of Egypt, but then He's going to take us as a people. V'lakachtem eschem li la'am, v'yisi lachem li lohim. V'idatem ki ani Hashem elokeichem, hamotzi eschem mitachas siblos Mitzrayim. I'm going to take you as a nation, and I'm going to be, for you, a God, and you shall know, because I am Hashem your God, that took you out of Egypt, well, took you out, mitachas siblos Mitzrayim. What does it mean? From underneath, sivlot Mitzrayim. What's sivlot? So Rashi tells us on that pasuk, Emor l'vnei Yisrael, ani Hashem hanema v'heftachasi. You can trust me in my promise that I gave to Avraham, Yitzchak, and Yaakov. V'hotzi eschem ki kein hivtachtiv v'achar kein yisu b'rchush gadol. That's what I said to Avraham Avinu, the Bris Milah Mitzrayim. You're going to leave with a great inheritance. Sivlos Mitzrayim, Torach Masa Mitzrayim. What's Torach Masa Mitzrayim? What's Torach, like Tircha?
A burden.
A burden? Well, Masa is going to be burden, so let's try to find a new word for Tircha. Yeah, the bother, or the weight, the stress of the burden of Egypt, or that which you lift out of Egypt. It could be claimed, I'm not sure what the literal understanding of Rashi is here, it could be that Hashem is going to take you out from... Rashi right beforehand says, I'm going to take you out with a lot of wealth. So it could be a reference to the fact that you're holding the burden of all that wealth. But you could understand otherwise, that it's really what it's referring to is the work. Sivlos Mitzrayim, Toreach Masa Mitzrayim, of holding it, and the Sivsei Chachamim says here, wrote to Lomar, Ha'avoda Shel Mitzrayim, Doda Domel Alein Kemasa. It's like a burden that they're holding on their back, the fact that they're slaves, and they can't be free. V'havi Ki'ilu Motzi Yosan Mitachtav, and it's as if Hashem is taking them out from underneath it. Sivlotachas Sivlos Mitzrayim, you're underneath the burden of Egypt. So what is the underneath? So says Rashi, it's a reference to the fact that the slavery was like a burden that we were carrying. So we see already from Rashi, there's a tension in these words. Tachas sivlos Mitzrayim. Hashem is taking us out of that burden, from underneath Mitzrayim. The Pshischa line, from Rim Simcha Banim all the way down to at least the Svas Emes, all have the same touch on these words. I've seen it from Rav Simcha Banim, I've seen it from the Chiddush Arim, and I see it in the Svas Emes. And that is to understand the word sivlot in a different way. How do you spell the word sivlot? Samech bet lamed. What's another word?
Savlanut.
What does that mean?
Patience.
What does it mean to be patient in Mitzrayim?
To wait.
Okay. More literally, it might be to endure. Or maybe also to tolerate. Says the Chiddush Harim, and really the Sfas Emes oftentimes is quoting Chiddush Harim, he's most likely just reiterating what the Chiddush Harim says when he says it. Vav. Says Reb Simcha Banim. Reb Simcha Banim says the following, Sivlos Mitzrayim, Afal pi shehavoda haisa kashim mefarechas. Even though the work was backbreaking, it was very difficult. Mikom makom, hisraglu litzaros, Litzaros, they became accustomed to that difficulty. V'nasu es ha'ol v'hametzuke b'savlanut. They accepted upon themselves the burden with a tolerance. V'ra'u matzavam k'tiv'i. They began to think of their existence, to think of their situation as a natural way of the of their life. As one Rav I once heard say, this is all they knew. Literally all they knew. Their father, and their Zaydi, and their Alta Zaydi, all they ever did was be a slave in Egypt. 200 years of families, just slaves, that's all they knew. And he would say, this Rav Chaim Waxman, he would say, they had pictures on the wall. This was Zeta, you know, Zeta David, he could carry 15 bricks. That was his claim to fame. This was Zeta, you know, Avram, he could carry 25 bricks. You know, this is all they knew about. This is the only thing that they did all time for 200 years. Says Rav Zichrona, that's what Savlanut means. The Jewish people became tolerant of their avdas. They became tolerant of the difficulty. That's just what they thought life was. Life has become being a slave. That's what it means to live now. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Mikevan shekvar einam chalim ve'einam margishim begoralam hamar. Now that they can't even feel how difficult it is that they're in Egypt, because it's so normal to them. That's why Hasakana Gedola, that's why it's even greater, the danger is even greater. It's one thing to be in slavery, but it's another thing to be okay with slavery. And says Hashem, that's the last straw. V'ein la'akiv yoser es ha'gula, l'chein emor l'vnei Yisrael. Therefore, tell Jewish people, v'otzieis eschem etachas silos Mitzrayim, the first thing I'm going to do, I'm going to take you out of that tolerance. You're going to realize that it's not normal for you to be in that situation. If you wanted to get a whole elaboration on this, I spoke about this last week's Parsha class to the women in terms of why it had to be Moshe Rabbeinu, why it had to be Shevet Levi that took out the Jewish people. You can listen to it there. But it's based on this idea. The Kutzker Rebbe takes it a step further. He says, the Kutzker Rebbe also, same line of Pshiska, same taitch of the word Savlanut, of Sivlos Mitzrayim. He says, Hatzad Harishon L'cheiros, the very first step to getting freedom, Hu Hamerida Ba'avdos. You have to work against. You have to be opposed to being a slave. If you're not yet opposed to slavery, so then you're never going to be free. So says the Kutzker, Lo titachin ha-ge'ula ad she'en mo'asim mikodem galus. You can't get out of galus unless you're intolerant of galus. When does it just become something where you're never going to get out of it? When you just say, this is what life is nowadays. This is our existence.
So it's different than just... like, they still were really suffering and whatever.
It was physically difficult.
Like, when they complained that they had to do the extra...
The extra work, yeah.
They were still crying out, whatever, but that could coexist with this kind of...
Yeah, problem. Meaning it's physically difficult. We don't want the physical pain anymore. But at the same time, we don't think there's another option. This is just what we do. Good. So Moshe, Biser, Yisrael, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Yotzi, Mikirbam, Es HaSavlanut. Hashem is going to take you out of that tolerance. He's going to first and foremost take that out. Sablus min dalch shtamanut, lishiabed, lishibud mitzrayim into avotah, shalo yuchlu lisbol osayoser, that you cannot tolerate it anymore. Zehu yisod shem yimenu, that is the foundation from which tzamcha hageula, that you can finally sprout the redemptive process. It's only once you realize that the situation you're in now is not tolerable. And the truth is, it's not just Mitzrayim.
When they went out,
right.
They were kind of complaining, saying, let us go back, it wasn't so bad.
Yeah, exactly. At least they had a certain comfort. They knew what was going to win. They woke up in the morning, they knew what was going to happen. They knew what they were having for lunch, they knew they were doing in the morning, they knew they were doing in the afternoon. They knew their whole day schedule. Moshe Rabbeinu took them into the wilderness. They had no idea what was going to happen. They didn't know where their food was going to come from. That was part of the test. But and even afterwards, they wanted to go back to Mitzrayim. It gave them a certain sense of comfort. So says the. So this is the same idea of tolerating and being comfortable with a very difficult circumstance. And the truth is, as I said before, that this is much more than just Egypt. How many things in our own lives have we become tolerant of, and it just becomes the way of how we're living? You know, this is when I wake up in the morning. It's just not going to change. I can't make a change. No, this is just, I snack at nighttime. That's just what I do. I'm not going to try to change it, you know? Every person in their own way has their own thing of those things, which have become our own savlanut, our own sivlos. We've become tolerant of things in our lives, which should be different, but we just say, okay, new, what am I supposed to do? This is life now. So that's what Hashem is saying. That's the first step to recovery is to making sure you know it's wrong.
So
to admit what's wrong.
The promise that God's going to provide that first step to help change their mindset, or through the process?
That's what it sounds like. From if you're going to read this word into the pasuk, it sounds like Hashem's going to make that happen. How exactly does he do that?
Right.
It's not really clear. It's not really clear that that he does that. Maybe just by the fact that Hashem is making such strides on their behalf to get them out, they realize, wow, this might not be so good. But if you listen to the Tuesday share they gave last week, it has to do with Levi. Levi were the people, was the Shevet that wasn't, they weren't Avadim. They knew what it meant to be Jewish. They would sit at home and they would learn and they would daven and they would do things that were very different from what the Jewish people were doing in Mitzrayim. So that's why it had to be a Moshe Rabbeinu that came from Levi to show them this is not what Judaism is. It doesn't mean carrying bricks all day. So that's what I talked about then. So you can listen to the whole shiur then. But I wanted to say another idea. And that is, a couple of psukim later, Moshe Rabbeinu, after he says this, so what does it say in the pasuk? It says, Vaidar Moshe Kena b'nei Yisrael, he says this to the Jewish people, V'lo shamu al Moshe mikotze ruach ome avoda kasha. The Jewish people aren't listening. And this is an obvious contrast to what they said in last week's parsha. Right? Vayamin, vayamin ha'am, vayiktu vayishtachavu. The Jewish people were on board. They believed in Moshe, they believed in Hashem. All of a sudden, they're not. So what is the difference? The Rashbam says there's more work. The Nativ says the message was different. Okay, different understandings. I also wrote about this in the B'nai Akiva newsletter. If anyone wants to look at that Dvar Torah, coming out either today or tomorrow. I don't know when they send it out. They just asked me to write it, so I did. And you can look another piece from the Meshech Chachma about how to understand this pasuk. But the question Moshe Rabbeinu now has to Hashem, he says, Moshe Rabbeinu, go to Paro. Well, Hashem doesn't say Moshe Rabbeinu, but he says, Moshe, go to Paro. Go to Paro and try to convince him to take the Jewish people out of Mitzrayim. So Moshe's looking back at Hashem. He says, what kind of instruction is that? Didn't you just see what happened? So Moshe said, Moshe of Hashem anymore. Hein b'nei Yisrael lo shamu elai. The Jewish people just rejected the Jewish people, they're the ones I'm fighting for. They just rejected me. Ech yishmeini Paro. How am I going to get Paro to listen to me if the Jewish people just said I'm not listening to you? I'm working for them, and they don't even want it. And now I'm working against Paro, and he's going to listen. So he says Moshe, ani aral sevasayim. What does it mean, aral sevasayim? So one possibility is, he didn't speak well. Kvad pe'anochi, right? That he has a speech impediment. Another possibility is, Rashi says, atum svasayim. His lips were closed. Atum. Right? And he talks about it. It's similar to arlat halev. Your heart is closed off. Other ways of understanding this, the word arla, to be something that's closed off or unpenetrable. So, like a barrier, yeah. So what does it mean that he was an arl svasayim? Well, in a literal sense, you can simply say that I have nothing to say. What I was going to say, there's nothing I can do or say that's going to change this. I can't even convince the people that I'm trying to help. This happens a lot in personal relationships, and I can tell you it happens in Rabbanus too, that even if you see an issue and you see a way to help somebody, the hardest part is getting them to realize that what you want them to do is helpful for them. And this is what Moshe Rabbeinu, the first leader of the Jewish people, as a people, is trying to convince the Jewish people of. I'm doing this for your own good, and the Jewish people don't want to hear it. So he says to them, he says to Hashem, Ani aral svasayim. So if you look at Rav Simcha Benim, tells us a very interesting idea. Well, first the Sfas Emes. The Sfas Emes says that it goes beyond, it's not only about the message that he's trying to convince. If the message doesn't convince, if he doesn't convince the Jewish people, then it's surely not going to convince Paro. That's what Rashi says. Rashi says, this is one of eight Kal Vachomers in the Torah. Right? Kal Vachomer, you know Kal Vachomer? It's one of those phrases that doesn't have a good English translation. It's a lenient and stringent thing, you know? You know what I'm talking about, right? There's a Latin word for it or something that people like. A fiori or something?
It's not a fiori.
There's something like that. It sounds like it. But either way. So, what does the Sfas Emes say? Let me just find the pasuk first. The Sfas Emes says, Hein b'nei Yisrael lo shmu levei chishmin aparev v'anir al sasvayim. Im b'nei Yisrael mesarvin l'shmo l'man higehem. If the Jewish people aren't listening to their leader, to the person that's supposed to guide them, ein haman higim yecholim l'daber, then their leaders are not able to speak. It doesn't mean that my message isn't convincing to them, it surely won't be convincing to Paro. But if my constituents aren't believing in the mission, so then how am I supposed to sell the mission? Meaning I don't have the confidence and I don't have the support to go through with the mission. How can I go through with it? Lios lahem lepeh, v'nasim arlei sefasayim. Kachasuv shim'a shama ami v'adaberi. When my people listen, the Gemara, Pasuk and Tehillim, when my people listen, then I can speak. Im yesh shomim, if there are those who listen to me, efshar l'daber. Ki kocho shel hamanhig noveya min ha'am. The power of a leader comes from his people. A leader can't convince other people what to do. But once the people are behind him, then the leader has the confidence to go through with it. I had a coach in high school, a basketball coach, who used to tell us, a coach is only as good as his players. Which, I mean, on one hand, it's pretty simple because they're the ones doing the job. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the coach has the confidence only once his players are behind him. And they're listening to him and they're willing to do what he's saying. Right? Im yeshom efshal ledaber ki kochel shel hamanig noveya min ha'am lachein. Therefore, says Moshe Rabbeinu, ilu shamu bnei Yisrael l'Moshe, if the Jewish people would have listened to Moshe, hayaniftach piv udvarav hayu mashpim agam al Paro, if the Jewish people would listen, then it would give Moshe the confidence to approach Paro and make the argument. But it's because the people didn't. Avalim heim lo ratzu lishmalo, if they won't listen to him, hu nase aral svasayim. Moshe Rabbeinu, it doesn't mean that, what am I supposed to say? There's nothing I can say. My message is not going to be accepted. It literally means Moshe Rabbeinu, he found it difficult to open his mouth. How can I make the argument? Maybe the argument's no good. Maybe I have to come up with a different plan. Clearly it's not working with my people, and if they don't like it, how am I supposed to do it?
That's aligns nicely with the idea of the barrier.
All right.
It wouldn't be persuasive to Paro.
He's literally blocked. Yeah, it blocks the message. Yeah, good. Hunasar al Svasayim v'echish me'ni Paro. And I'll tell you that this is something that I've dealt with in different, personally, I'm sure other people have the same situation. The people that they lead, or their children, or their students, whatever it is. But there's a big difference between my position here and my position in Kansas City. My position in Kansas City was, I was basically a community rabbi, and the koach of my job, the entirety of my job, was convincing people of my relevancy. Because I didn't have constituents. I didn't have a congregation where people were paid dues or came to events because they were part of a shul, they were part of a group, they had a social structure. I had a class and I convinced people to come. And that is a very difficult existence. Let me tell you, every day I'm fighting for my relevancy. Here, at least, Baruch Hashem, the people that have already signified that they've bought in. Right? And the fact that people have bought in, it gives me chizuk to go ahead with my classes. The fact that people come to classes, I feel I have the koach to go forward with them, because then people are clearly supportive of them. But if you have a situation where you don't know if people are going to support you, it's a lot harder not just to convince them, but to teach. And in the previous job, I'd have to do a lot of fundraising. So if I don't get people out of my class, it's really hard to fundraise. How can I make the pitch to people that they should be supporting my organization if the people that are supposed to come to my stuff don't come? Right, same thing Moshe Rabbeinu is saying, how can I make the pitch? How can I go with confidence to convince Paro if my constituents don't even believe in me? If I'm not even getting the support of the people I'm supposed to be helping, so then how am I supposed to lead the people at all? Not because my argument won't be persuasive, but because I don't feel the ability to make the argument, because I don't have the same kind of support behind me. So these are the two ideas that I wanted to say today. First of all, the Tachas Sivos Mitzrayim, to not be complacent in whatever tolerance that we're having towards this activity or that activity, which really is wrong, but we just don't have the koach to come over it. And similarly, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, not similarly, but additionally, Moshe Rabbeinu says to Hashem, Ani Aras Vasayim, that in order to lead people, we have to make sure the people are with me. And if the people aren't with me, it makes it a lot harder for me to physically say the argument. Ani aras v'asayim, I'm being blocked. So two very interesting ideas from the world of Pshischa. And with that, we go into Shabbos. Everyone should have a good weekend.
Gil would like everyone to have seconds.